We're going to start the homily today by listening to my boss. With it being World Mission Sunday, it's only a minute and 47 seconds long. So let's lower the lights. Camera, action.
Hello, I'm Bishop Earl Boyer of the Diocese of Lansing. I'd like to talk to you about our annual Mission Cooperative Appeal, which is being taken up today. Through our baptism, we are all called to be missionaries. As Christ says to each of us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Of course, we may not be able to actually travel to the far-flung places where many of our missionaries serve. We can support their missions, though, with our prayers and donations. That's where the Diocese of Lansing's Mission Cooperative Appeal Program comes in. The appeal was originally started as a means of supporting new fledgling dioceses around the world. Often these struggling dioceses don't have the funds required to pay for seminarian and catechist formation, for church buildings, or even for priest salaries and accommodation. Hence, a portion of today's collection goes to help in these areas of need. That includes support for religious orders and lay missionaries too. Some of the donations to the Mission Cooperative Appeal will also go to feed and care for some of the poorest people around the world. The primary goal of the appeal, however, is to feed souls. We do this by supporting the people and infrastructure that makes evangelization possible. In doing so, you are sharing God's love with others as Jesus asked each of us when he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So, can you help spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations? Will you help? We only ask you on one day, once a year. Today is that day. Please give generously. Thank you, and may God bless you.
All right, thanks, boss. So you heard it there first, the bishop inviting us to participate in the work of the missions. America is quickly again becoming mission territory. We used to send missionaries to all the world. Now we're receiving missionaries from foreign countries that come here to make up for our priest shortage. But American Catholics are very blessed with the resources that are needed by the church in developing parts of the world. We need to be the gas for the missionary engine. And it's not just to proselytize people, but it's especially to care for the least among us. I would argue that other than Jesus Christ, there's no greater force for good the world has ever known than the Catholic Church founded by Jesus Christ, because every day in every country on every continent, there's no corporation, organization, or government that feeds more hungry people, cares for more sick and dying people, loves more orphans, or educates more children, and cares for more people in crisis than the Catholic Church. And that is something that we definitely want to be a part of, beyond the walls of this parish, beyond the confines of this church, and certainly beyond the borders of the Diocese of Lansing. So there will be no second collection today. But for those who receive our envelope packets, there is one marked World Mission Sunday, or you can use an envelope of your choosing, write missions on it, cash or check made payable to Queens. We'll collect these gifts for 3 weeks and send them to the Office of Missions, who will then spread them where they can do the greatest good in far-flung places of this planet. But just as the church continues to care for the least among us, Bartimaeus would have fit perfectly into that category. His name meant a son of honor, but he was viewed by the people of Jericho as a son of disgrace. They had an unfortunate mindset that if someone was struck blind, mute, deaf, if they were a leper, that somehow they were being cursed by God, either for something they did wrong or for some sin of their ancestors. This, of course, would never be true. Our God does not create people only to condemn them. However, for Bartimaeus, with this affliction, he wasn't allowed to work. No one wanted to come anywhere near him lest his bad karma become theirs. All he could do was sit there on the roadside every day and hold out his cloak like this and hope that people would put their coins in it so that he might have enough money for sustenance, for daily bread. This was the extent of his life. It wasn't much of a life. He was totally deprived of his human dignity. He had never seen Jesus. He had never seen anything. But he believed. There were so many people who at this point in the gospel had witnessed plenty of Jesus' miracles. Walking on water, calming stormy seas, turning water into wine, multiplying loaves and fishes, restoring a withered hand, cleansing lepers, even raising the dead. But as many were disciples who did believe, there are plenty of critics who refused to believe, even after all they had seen, that Jesus is a power unlike any other because he himself is unlike any other. And yet for Bartimaeus, who saw nothing, he believed. reminiscent of the truth of the words the risen Christ would say to doubting Thomas in the upper room in John chapter 20, verse 20. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. It's important for us to understand where we are in the gospel and where we are in the timeline of the life of Jesus that makes this miracle all the more important. We're at the end of chapter 10, and for the first time in this gospel, Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. Bartimaeus will say it twice. Thousands of people will say it at the beginning of the next chapter. Why? Because Jesus at Jericho is only 15 miles from the cross, only 15 miles from Calvary. And the next chapter is Palm Sunday, and everybody will join Bartimaeus in crying out, Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of David, meaning they believe that he is the promised Messiah. Bartimaeus calls out, Have pity on me. He said that countless times every day to the passersby that they might give him a coin or something to eat. But now he says it with greater urgency, asking Jesus to do for him something that no one else can. And Jesus asks Bartimaeus the same question he asked of the sons of Zebedee in last Sunday's gospel, earlier in the same chapter, when he said, What do you want me to do for you? Do you remember how James and John answered that question? They wanted thrones. They wanted glory. They wanted victory, minus Calvary. They wanted people to follow them, but they themselves did not want to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus, on the other hand, he isn't asking for glory. He's asking out of necessity. I want to see. I want my life back. I want my human dignity back. His faith has been tested. His faith will be rewarded. And the same is true for all of us. Bartimaeus is given sight. Your faith has saved you, Jesus said. But what a blessing. The first thing that he gets to see when he looks for the first time out of newly opened eyes is the holy face of Jesus. What a blessing. You would think then that Bartimaeus may want to run back to his family, say, Can you see me? Because I can sure see you for the first time. But instead, what does Mark tell us? That Bartimaeus throws aside his cloak, meaning he will be a beggar no more. He's a new man. He's not turning back. He's looking forward. But it also says he follows Jesus on the way. And what a loaded phrase that is. Jesus is the way. He tells us that in the sixth verse of the 14th chapter of John at the Last Supper when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But for Bartimaeus, with these new eyes, to be willing to follow Jesus on the way, that, my friends, is the way of cross, the way of sorrows, the way that will lead to victory only by stopping first at Calvary. And it's important that at this point we have a new disciple in Bartimaeus, because Jesus was walking a lonesome road to Calvary. And we call it that because during that entire final journey to Jerusalem, fewer and fewer people were willing to go with him. It seems that every time he announced that he was going up to the cross, that he would only achieve victory at the great price of his life, that fewer and fewer people wanted to accompany him, especially when he told him, If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Like James and John, too many people wanted something for nothing. They did not want to suffer for Jesus. They didn't mind if Jesus suffered for them, but they didn't want to be part of it. But Bartimaeus, he had nothing. He's gained everything. And now, like the apostles, he immediately is willing to leave it all and go with Jesus wherever love requires. That's the cost of discipleship. And being invested in the great gift we all seek, which is happiness in this life and eternal happiness with God forever in the next. We, my friends, pray that like Bartimaeus, the Lord may help us to see, that he might remove our blind spots, the blind spots that keep us from being able to see the suffering right around us and being willing to get some dirt under the nail and roll up our sleeves to do something to alleviate it. To have those blind spots removed that keep us from only being able to see the faults and failings of those around us while rationalizing and explaining away anything we might do as being okay because God and I have an understanding. We, my friends, are welcome, like Bartimaeus, to see in Jesus the one who can give us new eyes of faith, so that not only can we look at bread and see the body of Christ, but we can look at each other and see the reflection of Christ and love and serve God and how we love, honor, serve, and forgive one another.